September. New series today, starting off faithfulness, the law of promotion. Everybody say faithfulness, faithfulness is the law of promotion. It is. Let's start off with our weekly confession. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Is this word God speaking to you? Praise God. Well, the more you speak it, the more the word will become flesh in your life. Say that again. That was a thunderous amen was probably due there. The more you speak the word of God, the more it will become flesh in your life. It'll manifest in your life. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 15. And I think we'll just start here with this. We're talking about faithfulness. You know, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus talked about fruit in John 15. He talked about abundant fruit. And in verse 16, I like to read it this way. Jesus is looking at his men. He said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." You didn't choose me. I chose you. Boy, that's big. That's dancing ground right there. That's shouting territory. You know, because maybe he chose me. Not because I could enhance his existence one iota, but he could enhance mine. What did he do? He said, "I chose and appointed or ordained you." God has ordained you in his choice. He's ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit remain. Why? So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Let's read this whole verse together. Ready? Read. "You have not chosen me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." Now, that last phrase, "he may give it to you," that's not, well, he may or he may not. That's not what that means. What it means is if you bear fruit and that fruit remains, your fruit starts to talk about you. Your fruit says that you are responsible and faithful with what God gave you. He can trust you. He can entrust you. 20 years ago, the Lord gave me a teaching that I call fruit sacks, S-A-C-C-S, fruit sacks. And it's an amazing revelation that one day just dropped it. And I've been studying it ever since. So you're getting the benefit of about 20 years of study here, revelation. But these, and it's all concerning faithfulness. And faithfulness is not something you just decide to be faithful. No, faithful is produced by a root system. It's a product of spiritual roots. And those roots have to do with the attributes of God that are already in you through the new creation. Submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship. Those are the five root systems of the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness is something that grows and grows over a period of time. In faithfulness lies your promotion in everything in life. You want more of God? It comes through faithfulness. You want to be promoted in the kingdom of God? It starts with faithfulness. It starts with going low to get high. Well, you don't want to. Going low to get promoted. It means bowing your will to God's. And this, I'm telling you something about this. This is sacred to God. Jesus sweat blood in his submission to God. So this is something he definitely wants us to know. And I'm going to share some things to do. Sometimes it's easier to define something, what it is, by what it's not. And we're going to go into what submission is not. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. It says, but, well, it starts with but because it's banking off what it just said about the works of the flesh. None of them are good. It's all evil. The works of the flesh are these, and it names them all. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that the translators capitalize Spirit here as if Holy Spirit, and rightly so it should be, because this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it is also the fruit of the recreated human spirit. Say that with me. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the recreated human spirit. You don't have to pray for love. It's already been poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost, who's given to you. You don't have to pray for joy. No, the joy of the Lord is in you. You need to cultivate these things. Dwight was talking about joy this morning. You need that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't have to pray for peace. Jesus already gave you. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. It's not the world's kind of peace. This is my peace I give to you. You don't have to pray for patience. You can pray for these things, but it's not going to do you any good. That may sound a little harsh, but it's not. I've prayed for patience earlier when I was younger in the Lord, and I didn't realize that these things were already in us. God has already placed patience in us in seed form that we need to cultivate and develop. He's not going to make you patient. He's not going to. I've had strange prayer requests being in charge of the altar ministry at other churches, and we had some make the devil go away from me. And I say, no, I can't do that. What? I said, no, you can do it, though. Well, I can't do that. Do you believe the Bible? Yes. Well, Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. And the first thing he said was, they'll cast out demons. So, and it's part of it is teaching. People have to learn that they have this power and how to use it. Faithfulness is a powerful fruit of the Spirit. And it's something that pleases God, because when Jesus comes back, what's he going to be looking for? Faith and faithfulness. The seventh fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Full of faith. Full of a life that is filled with faith. Amen? How'd you like to have that kind of fruit? That remains, the fruit that speaks about a faithful life, a fruit that God says, oh boy, what else do you need? I'll give it to you. What else? You know, many people think they have to beg God for stuff in their life. All they have to do is manifest fruit that remains, and God will say, what can I do for you? I called my dad at work one time, and he was manager of a large company. And I said, Dad, you got a minute? He says, not really, but go ahead. I was always a priority to him. God, you are always a priority to God. I had a good dad, and I miss him. I'll see him again, and I miss him. But the thing is I don't have to miss him. I have a father who is billions of times better than my dad could ever be. And although my dad was good and he loved me, God knows how to love you right. He knows what you need before you ask, but he still requires that you ask. Why? Because he wants you to value what he's going to give you. You got to value these things. place a high value on this. So today we're going to be diving into some things that will help you bear that kind of fruit. Fruit that will speak well of you. It'll speak to others about you. I mean, you don't have to look at an apple tree and say, well, wonder what kind of tree that is. No, the fruit declares it. It declares everything right down to the root and the very seed that was planted in the ground. The fruit of the Holy Spirit will speak for you to the world. You know, I think it was St. Francis of Assisi said, I always preach the gospel and sometimes I use words. He was a man of God. I'm telling you, he just is. You'll see him in heaven. But here, did he have a lot of religious bondage? Yeah, but the thing is, he loved God. He knew Jesus. And he manifested fruit that spoke for him. This is what he was saying when he said that. So today we're going to talk about the law of submission. And I'm not talking about a law like the Ten Commandments law. Thou shalt not. It's not that kind of a law. What it is, it's a spiritual law that you can activate, you can put into. Jesus did it all the time. He activated spiritual laws by what he said, how he responded, how he reacted in different situations. He never reacted in fear. He always reacted with the word of God. When a storm came, what did he do? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. It's pretty clear. Pretty clear. You know, Brother Hagin used to say this too. He said, if you're praying about the weather, you're wasting your time. The only example we have of it is talk to it. Talk to it. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I don't think I know who I am. I'm a son of the living God. He lives in me, and I am a new creation in Christ, and what I speak will happen. This is one time the Carpenter Clergy Commission, once we were having this, we were going to have this worship service out at the park. And I'm looking on my radar, and this storm is heading right for Carpenter's Park. Huge storm. And it was going to ruin our night. So these other two, they're saying, well, the two pastors, they said, well, I think we ought to cancel for tonight. It's going to be too dangerous. I said, okay, let's just throw the word of God out and forget the storm. Did Jesus ever calm that? And, you know, it was just coming out of me. I didn't make them feel, I want to make them feel bad. But they said, really? I said, yeah. Listen to this. So we spoke to it. And, you know, you're allowed to change your mind. And they changed their minds. So that's called repentance. And so, and that storm, I watched it on the radar. It split in two and went right around Carpentersville like this. And it was clear skies. And we felt a little raindrop here and there. But I'm looking at my phone on the radar and it just totally split. You have that authority to do that. God gave it to you. Man was given dominion in the earth, and that didn't stop with the fall. It didn't stop with the fall. No, you still have dominion. The devil can't just do things because he's the devil. He's the God of this world, but how does he rule? Through deception, through fear, through twisting of the truth. You know what wicked means? The root of the word wicked means, it refers to a wicker basket. It's all twisted. It's all twisted. And he takes the word and he twists it so that you misunderstand it, misapply it. And then the next thing you do is, how do I get a hold of God? And all the time, you have dominion in the earth. That's right. That's right. Amen. Praise God. The law of submission. Turn with me to James chapter 4. We'll start there. That was my introduction. I hope you're still awake. I brought an alarm clock just in case. You know, James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word flee means he will run in terror when you submit to God. See, if you're submitted to God, the devil is afraid of you. But if you're still submitting to the devil and his, the devil's not going to care what you do, what you say. It's that submission that starts to speak for you. It's a fruit that speaks on your behalf that says to the devil, you better watch out. He's holding the keys. And if he starts shaking that ring, he's going to loosen some power that's going to wreck you. So you better get out of here. That's what it says to the devil. That's what that fruit says to him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This word, submission, submit, subject, it's the same word. It is a military term, actually. It's a militaristic term that means a ranking under something. It means to rank under or go low. It has to do with humility. Humility, go low. Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Jesus never promoted himself. He let the Father promote him. There's nothing wrong with being promoted, by the way. There is a problem when you start promoting yourself. That's called pride. P-R-I-D-E, and I is right in the middle of that word, pride. And you want as little to do with I as possible. You know, there was this... we want our own way. You know, there was this guy grew up... This is a story, it's a kind of a joke, but he grew up in a certain town, then he moved away, and he came back, and he saw in his best friend's house, he saw a shingle that said he was a preacher, he's a reverend. So he knocked on the door, says, hey, remember? Oh, yeah, how you doing? He says, why'd you become a preacher? You know what he said? He said, because I found out that if I could say a whole lot of nice things to people, they'd give me all kinds of money. And he said, okay, well, you know. And then a few years later, he came back to visit that town again, and his friend had a new shingle. And it says he was a doctor. He said, what happened to a preacher? I mean, now you're a doctor? He says, yeah, I found out that people will pay more money if I can heal their bodies instead of their souls. A few years later, he came back for a visit, and there was a new shingle on there. It says, attorney at law. And he said, okay, preacher, doctor, attorney, who are you? You know, why now are you attorney? He says, you know what? I found out that people would pay a whole lot more to get their own way rather than have their body healed or their soul healed. To have their own way, they need a lawyer to go and fight and get their own way. You know, you need to get rid of that. Because has your way ever helped you in the past? I mean, come on, what's the fruit of that? You know, Paul said that. What fruit had you in those old works? What kind of fruit did it bear in your life? It was heartache, pain, agony, loss, you know, alienation from other people. What fruit was there? He said, why not do this? Why not live this way? So anyhow, law of submission. Let's first explain what the law of submission is. So turn with me. Well, let's go here first. If we're talking about obedience, that's one thing. Obedience, agreement, that's one thing. But if you're talking about submission, you're talking about a heart issue that goes deeper than just plain obedience. When you're submitted, you will obey. But if you obey, that doesn't mean you're naturally submitted. I mean, if your dad says, I want you to mow the lawn, and then when I come home, we'll go out and do this, we'll have dinner, but I just want the lawn mowed before you do that. And the father comes home, and the lawn isn't mowed. He says, I thought I told you to mow the lawn. Oh, okay. Well, there's your old lawn. Did he obey? Did he submit? See, there's two different worlds apart. The job got done. but he lost his honor. He lost his... See, obedience is rewarded, but submission is honored by God. Why? Because when you submit to God, when your heart is surrendered to his will instead of yours, when your heart is surrendered to what his, to do his word rather than just to hear it, when your heart is submitted to being the kind of person that he's called you to be when he called you and ordained you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask. Look, there are so many rewards with both of these things, but submission is a place of honor. And Jesus, it's the life that Jesus lived. It's the life that the Apostle Paul lived. Paul is doing really good right now. Paul, can you imagine? I mean, we preach his words all the time. Every Sunday I preach his word. I preach in the communion today. And we're going to preach a little more today. And all of those words are bearing fruit and more fruit and more fruit, and he's reaping the harvest of it in heaven. Because what we do here goes far beyond this life. It goes into heaven and speaks for us. It goes into heaven and produces for us and an inheritance that is unbelievably rich and good, a one that will last you for all eternity. And it all comes through submission. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8. Not Titus, Hebrews, Tom. There you go. Attaboy. Verse 8 says, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he..." Let's go back to 5. Now we'll start 8. "You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him. But now we see not things, not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower..." Notice the words here, the language, lower. "He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their faith, captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings." Perfect through sufferings. Perfect through suffering. This is the real word of God. Now, I know in our circles, a word of faith, the word suffering is not really a popular word, but it's Bible. And there's no way we can get rid of this. If we're going to look at this properly and in contact with Scripture, we've got to look at this. What kind of sufferings is he talking about? Well, he's not talking about sickness. He's not talking about poverty. He's not talking about fear. He's not talking about any of those things that are under the curse of the law. And if you read, you'll see all of those other things under the curse of the law. And Jesus would never have you submit to anything that's under the curse of the law from the very curse that he has redeemed you from. So, the captain of their salvation, make him perfect through sufferings. What things did he suffer? Well, let's continue. Verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, perfect through suffering." Verse 11, "For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus suffered, and he learned through obedience. It says he learned obedience through his suffering. His suffering was the suffering of temptation. He suffered being tempted for all men, it says. He suffered everything that we go through. He suffered the temptation of that. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That's the suffering Jesus, and our suffering, the suffering of the Christian, is resisting temptation. Temptation to succumb to sickness, temptation to succumb to fear, the temptation to succumb to the things that are to ordinary, that are subject to all men, the things that hit us all. And even if you do fall into those things, I want you to know that you have a God who will never be ashamed to call you his brother. God will never be ashamed of you. I had to encourage a brother recently. And he's a preacher. People came into his church and said, your sermons are too long. People came into his church and said, why do you people pray that way? And I encouraged him with this to say, look, they may be disruptive. They may not know anything about God. But look, you have a God who will never be ashamed of you. Preach as long as you want, as long as God's given it to you. And it was good for him. Look at Hebrews 5, verse 5. We'll start there. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said to him, that you are my son, today I have begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obeyed him. So he doesn't require submission for salvation, but obedience is good. Okay? A priest forever. It says in verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. Notice this. Jesus, when he left heaven and put all of his weight, all of his glory aside and became a man just like us, had to learn obedience through suffering, the things that he suffered of temptation, the temptations of this world. It started right at the beginning of his ministry, followed him right through the end of his ministry. And when he went to the Father, you know, and theologians, they amaze me at how what they can cancel out of what they believe. You know, this is why you have seminaries that crank, they fill guys with knowledge, turn it into psychology, and pump them out and call them pastors. They're anything but that. All they do is undo what the Word has done and given us as a tool to beat the devil over the head with and to walk with God according to His Word. And they turn it into a bunch of mind stuff because, I don't know, I've studied those things before, and most of psychology totally eliminates the spirit of man. It's all mind. It's all motions. It's all trying to self-fix by rerouting your thinking. Now, unless your thinking is rooted to the new creation and to what God says about you, all the psychology in the world won't do any good. It'll be this week we'll prove it, next week we'll disprove it. You know, it's like it's like science class or something. And you're not a science project. You are a son or daughter of the living God. But look at this. The militaristic term of submission means to rank under. Ministry gifts such as apostles, prophets, they're all ranked in certain orders. He says first this, then secondly this. Then it says repeatedly so-and-so. So-and-so, submit yourselves to so-and-so. And it's submit yourselves. This is a request. It doesn't do God any good to make you submit. So this is not God making us submit. No, he tells us to do it because it wouldn't do any good if he made us submit. There's no willing heart in that. We are in a covenant that is both made up of a willing heart, willing to surrender what you have for what God has, willing to surrender your will for God's will to be completed in your life. That by no means... Now, when you submit to, this does not mean that that person is better than you just because you're submitting to them. It means they have a different rank, they have a different function, they have a different calling on your life than you do. And it doesn't mean that they're smarter than you. People say, well, then if they're not smarter than me, then why are they over me? It's not about smarts. This is not about knowledge. This is not about pumping yourself full of knowledge. This is about different, this is honoring God and being submitted to God. And if you're submitted to God, guess what happens? You will be promoted. You will fulfill your destiny. You will fulfill the calling that God has in your life by submitting to Him. This is a necessary word, because right now we're seeing a lot of people exalting themselves in politics. We're seeing a lot of people exalt themselves, and all they do is hurt other people when they do that. When we submit to God, He will make sure that we are a blessing to other people. That goes right along with the blessing of Abraham. I have blessed you so that you will be a blessing. How does that happen? How is it that God's blessing becomes abundant in you to help anybody else? Because you get you out of the way. And you put Him in the way, and He's got the plan. Stan. He's got the plan. He knows the future. He's bigger than you. He's smarter than you. And He says, submit to this. Now, it talks in Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Saw this the other day, and it really started speaking to me. He says, feed the flock of, in verse 2, I think, yeah, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, like that guy who had the shingle. Not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Now, Lori and I pastor this church. We're shepherds, but the chief shepherd is Jesus, and we submit to Him. If we're not submitted to Him, then go wherever you want, you know, really. But as long as we are submitted to Him, we will give you everything that He's got to give us. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Man, that crown is rich. That crown is filled with the Father's statement about you. Verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Likewise, just as the church is designed this way with certain heads and people in submission under them, it says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the older. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. So I'm just not subject, submitted to God. I am submitted to you as well. Do you understand that? Submit to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. I can't tell you how much humility means in this particular fruit of faithfulness. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves there under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. This is the kind of care He wants you to cast on Him. Don't worry. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. Don't try to exalt yourself. Cast that care on God. Don't worry about the future and the things that you have, the obstacles in front of you. No, cast that care on Him. Humble yourself and He will exalt you over those things. He will exalt you over that illness. He will exalt you over that time when you're a little short on change. Okay? He'll exalt you, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour us? Through people promoting themselves. Go low to rise up. Go low, and He will raise you up. And when He raises you up, nobody can bring it down. The devil can't bring it down. Other people, no matter what they say about you, they can't bring it down. It says, verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he had suffered a while, make you perfect. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. Does that word speak to you? It speaks to me. The God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he suffered, after that you suffered a while. See, this is the definition of submission. This is the only way to promotion in God. The only way is the suffering is getting rid of your attitude of wanting your own way and wanting God's way. There's suffering involved there. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and I wanted that ice cream cone, I mean, there was a temper tantrum coming if I wasn't getting it. And sometimes we as Christians have our own accelerated type of demure temper tantrum. It's a little more disguised now because you know how to and really think you're giving it to God. No, no, you're not giving him anything he doesn't know about. All right? This is faith. This is faithfulness. This is how we accelerate in God. This is how the God of glory manifests himself through us. And if you suffer a little while, it'll be worth it. If it says, after you suffer a while, how does it say? After you have suffered a while, it'll make you perfect or mature, establishing you, strengthening you, and settled. You know, once you've been through these battles, once you have surrendered that and got this out of the way to the point where you really don't have to deal with it, all of us have things in our life that's a constant maintenance. All right? Pride, lust, whatever it is. We have constant maintenance in our life that we have to deal with. And that's a constant process of crucifying the flesh. Right? And we all have a flesh. So there's constant maintenance. But there are things that once you deal a blow to this and you recognize it, you will recognize it when it's out on the horizon trying to get in again. And you go, nope, not again. Nope, not again. And you recognize it for what it is. And it's a thief. It'll steal from you. It's designed to steal the word of God, kill the things that God has given you, and destroy you, your testimony, and your relationship with him. That's what the devil wants to do. So what happens is, instead of fighting that, you just submit to God. It's effortless change. Submission. Now, I want to get into something else here, too. There's a law of submission that means is whenever you submit, like I have been in churches before where I submitted to the head pastor. I submitted to him. Now, Paul said this. It's very interesting. He said that you are all partakers of my grace. I think he said that in Philippians. We'll see. When you submit, you get the benefit of the grace that's on that person's life. You don't have to submit to them because they're them. You submit because that's God's order. You get that? Even Peter and John, when they're dragged in front of the Sanhedrin, they said, you don't speak anymore in that name. Well, there's things that trump earthly rule. And when they go contrary to the word of God, then you can speak up and say, no, I can't do that. I can't do. If it's more important that we obey you rather than God, forget it. We're obeying God. Amen. You know? So submission to God is it. When you submit to people who are outlaws, people who are corrupt, people who are, you're not submitting to them. But Jesus said this. He said, do as the Pharisees tell you to do, but don't do what they do, because they do and they don't not. He says, submit to what they say to do because they sit in Moses' seat, and you're honoring Moses' seat. See what I mean? So when we do what God says to do, what Jesus has told us to do, we are honoring his seat of authority at the right hand of God, and we are partaking of his grace. Look, this is designed to work for you, and produce a far more eternal weight of glory in your life. Something that God can say, that's fruit. That's fruit. That's me. I can identify with that. I am glad to share my blessing with you, my provisions with you, my inheritance with you. It's all yours. The way up is to go low. Go low to get high. Go low to be raised up. Amen. Let God deal with the details. You submit to God, and that law will work for you. I might have one more illustration here, and it's just going to take a minute here. Oh, yeah, the giftings that are on other people. When you submit, and this is hard to do, especially if you're in your family, and you, it's the familiarity of the family, and you're going through something, and you say, lay hands on me because my back hurts, or whatever. Or sometimes the familiarity you're not able to receive from them. But submit to them because they are your family. Submit to that prayer anyhow. And God, you're partaking of God's grace. Do you understand that? The giftings of the Holy Spirit that are on people. If you don't submit to them, you'll never receive from that. But if you submit to them, those giftings will come and benefit you. The grace of God will benefit you. The mercy of God will benefit you. All of the things that are in the new covenant that have been bought by that blood for you are yours, but there's a way to receive it and there's a way not to receive it. The way to receive it is to submit to the word of God, submit to the order that he has, honor the seat of the authority over you. Give them their place above you and God will raise you up to a higher level. Because you're, why? Because you're humble. That's humility. And humility is a powerful thing. Moses was the most humble man of his day, and he was also the most used man of his generation. If you want to be used of God, humble yourself. Amen. We'll go into things like pride next week, and as we tackle accountability. Did you get anything out of that today? Good. I was like, yeah. It's like, ouch. But look, this is the reality. I mean, I wish there was no problems that we would ever have. I wish there was no hardships that we would ever encounter. Well, that's just not the reality of the world. The thing is, there are hardships, but the good news is that we can always be triumphant in all things because Jesus lives in us. That's the good news, but you're not going to do it in your own strength, exalting yourself and fighting for your own way. When you fight for his way, he never loses a battle. Father, we rest in your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will accomplish what you sent it to do and prosper in its purpose. I pray, Father, that understanding come to us all through what we've heard today, what we have prayed for, what we've opened our hearts to, that it be liberating truth to us, that we can rest in the fact that you are faithful to us and all you ask is us to be faithful to you. We thank you that your word is working mightily in us and that your word continues to liberate us and show us the right way to go when we don't know what to go, because your word is pure wisdom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Just go with the blessing of God on you today, and throughout the week, let the word of God just speak to you. And I think that you will experience some good things. Amen.